Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Preview Show.
And for a preview of Luton against Aston Villa in association with Luke Roper. Always some great stuff on their website. So if you want to get a discount, you can use the code TVV20 and you will get a discount off garments such as this. Got Luke, get the badge in. Get the Luke badge in on the preview show, Dave Reid. Dave, I turned on my TV a few hours ago and happened to be Rob Edwards' press conference, and I heard a very, very familiar voice asking the questions to Rob Edwards. So you're very well placed for this preview because it was you asking the questions, Dave.
Yeah. And my first time at the Luton training ground, it's still got a little bit of, you know, you go to quite a few different training grounds and they're all, you know, very shiny, very brand new. There's still something like a throwback when you go to Luton Town's training ground. It's kind of off the behind a retail park. There's nowhere really for you to wait as media. You know, sometimes when you go to different places, there's like holding rooms and they bring out some lovely platters sometimes, but you know, you're very much in and out at Luton. You kind of go in and the press room is in the analysis room, and you know, the players are, you can hear the players in the next room playing pool, and then the other side of the room is the canteen. So it's, you know, there's something quite nice, a bit of there's a special feeling, a special atmosphere there. It's very kind of close-knit, but was looked after very well today. So yeah, very, very pleased if I end up going back there.
Was it very welcoming, was it? Not like Bodymore Heath?
It was very welcoming at Luton Town, as all training grounds are very welcoming.
Yes, I went to Leicester's training ground last season. Honestly, expected Bill Gates to walk out at some point because their training ground and was a joke. And let me tell you, the sandwiches were absolutely exceptional. The spread was unbelievable at Leicester's training ground when I went to do Brendan Rodgers' presser last season. Absolutely fantastic, fond memories of going there. Of course, having a good training ground doesn't necessarily mean anything because they got relegated, and Luton, Dave, I guess, they've still got a good chance of staying up despite what's happened with Everton this week and despite having a strange training ground.
Yeah, they're still in the mix. And I think, you know, that's what Rob Edwards has said today. If they can go into the last month of the season still having an opportunity to stay up and not cut adrift, then I think he'll have taken that. He was also asked today whether, you know, if he'd have taken this position at the start of the season. And I think he went back to their first sort of 3 months of this campaign. And he said it, you know, it took the team a little bit of time to settle in the division. And really, since December onwards, they have made a bit of a shift in terms of the way they play, and that has brought them some better results. And I think, given this position that they're in, you know, he would have probably taken that they're still in with a chance of staying up. you know, the backdrop to all this, as we mentioned really with Nottingham Forest last week, is the PSR thing. And, you know, Everton and Nottingham Forest have still got this hearing. Forest's, I think, starts next week. Not too sure when Everton's start. But, you know, the appeal, the hearing will have to take place within the next 3 months. And then there is a period of time built in for an appeal, which the kind of backstop date for that is following the end of the season. So the final day of the season is the 19th of May. And then the backstop date for all appeal hearings and everything to be sorted out in terms of points deduction is the 24th of May, which, you know, he said today that he can't really believe that they could be going into the final day of the season, not really knowing if they are in that position, whether they're going to stay up or not. So that's the situation facing Luton, and they've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, and you know, Rob Edwards has been a breath of fresh air in the Premier League, hasn't he? He's been a real brilliant addition. And Luton have been a brilliant addition as well. Rob Edwards, of course, used to play for Villa. I don't know whether anyone actually remembers that, but I've got a memory of Rob Edwards having an audacious chip against Chelsea, I think it was, and hitting the bar for Villa in probably one of the two games he played for the club. So yeah, Rob Edwards, a former Villa man. Also a former Villa man, Dave, is Ross Barkley marshalling the Luton midfield nowadays. Quite a throwback, really, for us to COVID times, because in the midfield battle, there will be Douglas Luiz, John McGinn and Ross Barkley. And that was Villa's midfield in that season. So that's a nice little angle for this game, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I said this on the first podcast when we played them before Villa, before at Villa Park. You know, that was some of the most exciting football that I can really remember seeing up until kind of this last year, I suppose. But at that point, there was so much to like about that Villa team. There was so much flair and so much physical energy, and, you know, just looked like the team and the players were enjoying themselves at that point. Ross Barkley was a big part of that. And the only issues that he had, as he's had for a long time, really, is fitness. And he had a long time out in that COVID season, ended up coming back, maybe came back a little bit too early, had a couple of setbacks, and then never really regained full fitness. And then the game at Villa Park, I think that might have been his first full 90 for Luton up until that point. And, that, you know, we were kind of well into the season by then. But now it seems like he is at the peak of his physical condition, which for Ross Barkley means an upturn in performances, because when he is at his peak, you know, he is a valuable Premier League player. And we're even seeing shouts of Ross Barkley to get into the England squad. That's how well he's been playing for Luton Town at the moment. So, you know, he is one that I'm sure will love to cause Villa some problems tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was his first 19. My memory is telling me that as well. But the game feels a long time ago now. It feels like a lot's happened. Since then, Villa were in the stage where they were just kind of churning out result after result at home. I don't think Luton had really found their feet. Home form actually hasn't been brilliant recently for Luton, but generally at Kenilworth Road, teams have found it hard to go there. I know Manchester City didn't find it hard to go there in the week, albeit, you know, Luton have made a few changes for that cup tie. But I remember that Liverpool game in particular. Luton gave them a real, real scare that day. And other teams have gone there and been tripped up as well. So it's going to be a tough game, isn't it, on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember when they played Tottenham at home, that was a really tough game.
Yeah, I watched that as well.
I think, they've lost four games in a row, but, you know, the last three games that they've lost, it's Liverpool, Man United, Man City, difficult teams to play against. I think a lot has changed since the game they played at Villa Park. They've, you know, Rob Edwards has talked about them becoming, the distances were too big, basically, between front to back. They were defending on the edge of their own box and then trying to counter. And I think he just thought the spaces were too big. So they've tried to become a little bit more compact since Christmas, and pushed a little bit higher up the pitch. They've become much more aggressive in terms of when they're without the ball. And set pieces have been absolutely fantastic for them. That has been a major source of goals. So they've just played a little bit more high-risk football. Now, you know, often risk can end badly, and it sometimes does. For instance, in midweek, you know, they will often defend now man-to-man. And when you're playing against players like Erling Haaland, I thought Tedem Mengi actually had a pretty good game against him, given the circumstances he was in. He'll have learned such a lot from that game. And yeah, I think, you know, they are a different prospect, and particularly at home, it'll be getting the ball wide, lots of crosses into the box for their forwards to attack. And, you know, it's a different kind of threat that Luton pose. You know, a lot of the teams in the Premier League play in a similar-ish sort of way. So it's quite nice, really, when you come up against a team that are going to do things differently and will pose you different questions.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously were at the Luton press conference. I don't know whether you've heard Unai Emery's press conference or caught up with Unai Emery's press conference, but he was quite coy about Konsa and Pau Torres. My gut is telling me that Konsa will play, but Torres perhaps won't. What did you make of his comments if you saw them?
Yeah, so I've seen the comments. I haven't watched his presser today. But yes, I think he said that Pau and Konsa are both going to be in the squad, but wouldn't really go into whether they'll be starting. But I think if Konsa can play any kind of minutes, I think he will start, and then probably Longley will shift over to play left centre back. It feels to me that the Pau Torres situation is probably one that's going to be managed a little bit, and if there can be, you know, no risks taken, I think that's probably the avenue they'll go down. You know, particularly I think with the physical forwards that Luton have, I think having Ezri Konsa in there is certainly a positive. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine if there is an issue with Powell that he'll take any risks against Luton tomorrow.
You'd imagine if everyone was 100%. Well, obviously, Carlos, I'm not including Carlos in that, but I'd think Konsa might play right back and Longley would continue at right centre back and Torres to make a back three. But obviously, we don't know at the moment what the situation is with fitness. It'll be interesting to see come tea time what the team news is and who's lining up in that defence. And I guess the rest of the team at the moment almost picks it itself. You know, the front six positions, I don't see it in or envisage any changes to that really.
No, simply because I think they've played well enough to keep their place. There's nobody really that's knocking down the door to get into that first 11. You know, we're still talking about players like Zaniolo and Diaby who are scratching around a little bit at the moment to find that little bit of spark. So if one of those players was knocking on the door and banging down the door to get into the first team, then maybe there would be some questions there about who to bring in and maybe a little bit of rotation. But given the way that those players have played in the last couple of games, it seems to me fairly obvious that the rest of the positions pick themselves, and it's the back four that you kind of have question marks against.
Yeah, and Luton have got some tricky players. Bene has been really good in recent weeks. It'll be Carlton Morris up top, I suspect, because they've got injuries to other personnel in the front positions. Other than Barkley, is there anyone else that you're watching out for?
Yeah, I mean, I really like Ogbeni. He is an absolute speedster. So he is one that you have to be careful of all the time. I really like Alfie Doty as well. I think he's got one of their highest chance creation. You know, and not wishing to be disrespectful, but if Luton do go down, I think Doty will be on the list of a lot of Premier League clubs. And I'm not talking kind of bottom half wanting to stay up clubs. I think there'll be teams in the top 7 and 8 that will be looking at him if they have a position on the left-hand side that they want to fill. So I think he's a class act. But you're right, they have got injuries, particularly at the back as well. You know, there's long-term absences like obviously the Tom Lockyer situation. Mads Andersen is someone who was playing League One football that they signed, and he's been out for a significant period this season. Amari Bell is touch and go. He's had hamstring and ankle problems. Gab Osho is out of the game. So they've got a little bit of a question mark for the three central defender position. I think Rob Edwards will be hoping that Bell's able to come through and he can play Bell, Mengi and Rhys Burke as the back three, because they have got a lot of injuries. Adebayo's out still. Yeah. Sambi Lokonga's out still. Jordan Clark played against City, and he's again more of an attacking midfielder.
Scored a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's one that they're going to have to ask to play a little bit more conservatively next to Barkley, because they simply don't have the players. So, you know, if Villa can kind of get behind that midfield line, I think there'll be some chances to be made, because their midfield on paper anyway looks actually quite attacking.
Yeah, I guess the bad news for Luton is as well that Villa are in pretty good form. Away from home, won their last couple. So, you know, Villa are going away from home with a little bit of confidence now.
Yeah, they're going to give up chances because they have done for the last few games and the last few weeks. But I think from Luton's perspective, they'll be confident of scoring goals as well. I think they've scored a goal at least in their last 13 or 14 Premier League games. They've found the net. So I think, you know, that's something to be wary of. And Villa obviously haven't kept clean sheets. And as I mentioned earlier, set pieces, absolutely vital, not just in that, in the first delivery, but the second phase of set pieces as well, and being organised if the ball ends up being initially cleared, but they're able to reload into the box. So it's those set pieces that you've got to be absolutely crucially switched on.
That's one of my big concerns at the moment. I haven't liked some of the stuff I've seen defensively from set players in recent weeks. The goal they're letting against Forest was really, really poor. And you've alluded to it already, or you've said already, that Luton are very, very strong from set pieces. I do actually think this will be a tight game. I know they're coming off the back of a heavy defeat, but you know they didn't have the goalkeeper. They did have players that they rested and took out. Gosa Kaminski, I think, has been one of the goalkeepers of the season in the Premier League. Made a hell of a lot of saves. Don't recall him making too many mistakes either. I think he's had a really good time, and you could certainly notice the difference against City when he wasn't in goal. Do you envisage a tight game as well?
I do, but I think there'll be goals. I think there'll be goals. So you know, I think there's opportunities there for Ollie Watkins and Douglas Luiz and John McGinn to possibly get a goal. But I also think that they'll be confident of scoring against Villa. And it's interesting you talk about, you know, if everyone was fit, taking out Douglas Luiz, that he would go with Konsa at right back and Longley and Pau Torres if everyone was fit. But I think Matty Cash has been excellent the last couple of games as well. I really think he has been outstanding in the position that he's been kind of.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, he has done well. That's very fair. He has done well.
And I think, you know, he's for something that's quite unfamiliar for him. I think he's understanding that position really well, and his timing his runs to perfection when he's able to go forward. So just wanted to give a shout out to Matty Cash, really, because I think he's been great.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And me calling the concert thing isn't anything against Matty Cash, who I'm a big fan of. I just think against a more physical side like Luton, I think in Emery's ideal world, I think he'd rather have concert at right back, just for set pieces and that extra height. Obviously, we've lost Boubacar Kamara from set players defensively as well, and also building up as a back three. It doesn't come naturally to Cash. He has done really, really well with it, but it isn't really his position. He's better at doing what he does best and bombing up and down the right-hand side. Then that just about does us, Dave, unless there's anything else that you think we need to cover or anything else you uncovered from the Luton training ground on your investigative trip to there.
No. I think I did ask Rob Edwards about his family, who are Villa supporters. I'll put the clip on. I'll put the clip on my Twitter, hopefully a little bit later. So people.
You didn't? Did you ask him about his new beard? Because you were very excited about his beard on Instagram.
I do. I am a fan of the beard. Yeah, but I didn't quite have the cojones to ask him about it.
No, just saved it for socials. Maybe next time. Right then, thank you ever so much for joining me, Dave. A pleasure as always. Hopefully the audio's worked on the show. I don't know what Greg was doing in Thailand, but there was something funny going on with his audio and we never managed to rectify it through the week. So apologies for that, because, well, I said to Dave earlier, I mean, if you turned me down to the right level, you could hear what I was saying, and really I make the finer points in that podcast. So yeah, hopefully maybe you just managed to listen to what I was saying. Thanks again to Luke Roper for sponsoring us. If you do want to go and treat yourself to some new garms, then do use the code TVV20. Other codes are available. I'm actually out with someone tonight who provides another code, but don't use that. Use TVV20. Yeah, have a great weekend. Those that are going to Luton, travel safely and bring back those 3 points, please. And only one thing left to say, up the Villa.
Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.